Well, good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us. And I want to thank my colleague, Bruce Jennings, for laying the foundation for the presentations that I will make and that my other colleagues will make this afternoon. So my focus is going to be on the ecological approach to global health and justice, and I do want to recognize my esteemed colleague, Lawrence Gostin, Georgetown University, for his outstanding work in global public health law that I will be drawing on this afternoon. Larry, in his new book, 2014, talks about global health with justice. So I'm going to be developing some of those concepts this afternoon. I'd first like to frame the social problem that I think is a significant one for public health, and address and hopefully help to understand, enhance understanding of the humanistic foundations of public health law. My work is located at the intersection of public health law and policy, social work research, and ethics, and talk about their relevance to the design and delivery of person-centered care, which is so central today to the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, and more specifically, palliative environments. I'm going to talk a little bit about the current paradigm in healthcare and then contrast it with what I call the palliative care paradigm, and talk about that change as a strategic one in public health policy. So I'm framing the problem that we're dealing with in public health today as one of suffering, and I don't think we talk enough about suffering. I think we're all too familiar with some of the problems that we're dealing with on the ground, the prevalence of chronic conditions and multimorbidity in the U.S., vast unmet care needs, especially across vulnerable populations, stark inequities in care, and then some of the cultural attitudes that Bruce just highlighted for you in terms of the emphasis on liberty and trade-offs with equity and security. And little public policy debate, little deliberation about these issues. As Americans, I think we've been reluctant to address questions, particularly about how resources ought to be allocated. Today, I'd like to reaffirm with you in this dialogue the humanistic foundations of law as lived in the world. Bruce spoke about the rational choice model and its limitations. Joseph Vining has focused on really reframing the focus of law. I think we need to be aware that law is not imposed on us from the outside. Legal systems have no intentionality themselves, but they are designed by human beings and are essentially human achievements. Reflect human intentionalities. So the authority for law must be differentiated from those external frameworks that we're so familiar with. Vining calls for the recentering of law on the person, our purpose, our living value and dignity. Understanding the experience of suffering better across diverse populations gives us a blueprint for what I describe as more humanistic care and what I also describe as a palliative turn in care. My own research, phenomenological studies of suffering and decision making among seriously ill older adults, has yielded findings showing that participants describe profound and disruptive losses, particularly in the loss of their homes, making transitions to facility care. And this does, I think, highlight for us some of the things that Bruce noted in his description of some of the theoretical conflict, the need to really understand the agentic pathways of seriously ill and suffering individuals and their capacity to experience human development even in the midst of suffering, serious illness, and at the end of life. My participants in my studies engaged in maternal care-seeking behavior, showing a life-affirming drive and resilience in supportive environments. So this palliative turn I'm talking about is an ecological approach to care, which contemplates the infusing of palliative care across whole health and social systems. I'd like to mention for a minute the most recent report from the Commonwealth Fund that was just issued. It really is very distressing, and I think we should feel uncomfortable with the findings related to the U.S. Healthcare outcomes. Amongst 11 high-income countries, we were ranked last on measures of equity, last on infant mortality, and also near last, I believe, on chronic care. Other research has shown that the United States is making the smallest investment in social services compared to other countries, while, of course, continuing to be the highest spender when it comes to health care. So these are outcomes that are simply unacceptable for us in the public health community. So what is palliative care about? Well, the traditional palliative care paradigm is really located in medicine, and it's described, as you see on the slide, as specialized medical care for people with serious illness, particularly focusing on relief of pain and suffering. But I'm really wanting to push the boundaries of that traditional paradigm out into the community. We want to see palliative care not only in hospitals as a consult model, but we want to really be embedding palliative care in the community and developing community-directed palliative care intervention. So this is a health and all policies approach. I have reconceptualized palliative care with my colleagues Keela Herr and Carol Levine as specialized medical and socially directed supportive care, really focusing again on the social provision dimension of that reconceptualization. We need to identify the public policy goals for the design of palliative care environments as alternative integrated health and social services delivery systems, and analyzing palliative care in terms of equity, value, and public health outcomes. So here I am arguing that palliative care is good public health law and policy because it translates the humanistic foundations of the law into effective policy. It's good public health because it aims to improve population health outcomes in neighborhoods and communities, relieving suffering, improving the quality of life, and helping to build healthy and secure environments. I already mentioned that it's good medicine, achieving effective pain and symptom management, but it doesn't end there. We want to talk about person and family-centered care, honoring individual preferences and values, promoting autonomy and the capacity to be agentic, treating persons and families together as the unit of care, and creating opportunities for human development, even in the midst of the challenges that the individuals and communities we work with face. My background is in social work, and so therefore I would be remiss in not focusing on palliative care as good social care, fostering the relational approach that Bruce spoke about, conversations about health and security concerns. And when I talk about security here, of course, I mean things such as insecurity, food insecurity, health insecurity, strengthening social bonds, expanding social provision by helping to build supportive environments and resilient communities. And palliative care is also good health systems management. Many studies have shown that it's effective in saving cost. It aims to increase value, and of course we're having a lot of discussions today about value in healthcare. Developing the generalist level workforce, not just the specialist workforce, and also developing the community workforce. And I think we're going to hear a little bit more about those issues from Lene later in the program. Perhaps most importantly, palliative care is good ethics. It promotes equity. And again, the Commonwealth Fund report really is glaring in highlighting our failure to achieve equity here in the United States. It's concerned with fostering what I call a maternal ethic of care and the global health with justice that Larry Gostin writes about. Equitable access to care for all persons and communities, and equitable allocation of resources. A very good example of this, I think, is what's going on in disaster preparedness. We're wanting to really embed the palliative care approach in disaster planning so that all persons will have access to basic good care in the event of emergencies and disasters. So that's one example, but we certainly don't want the narrative to end there. What we do want to do is to have discussions about designing alternative systems of care. And what I'm suggesting, embedding palliative care in the community. I've been working over the last couple of years studying successful models of palliative care, such as at Calvary Hospital in the Bronx, and transforming education and training in the colleges and universities, targeting both professionals and direct care and community workers. Collaborating also with community organizations and initiatives such as the Aging in Place movement. That's a very important part of our public health work, of course, building community coalitions. So what is the future of palliative care in public health? I see it as bridging old and new medicine, integrating medical and social care, promoting a public health strategy for policy development and implementation. And that includes drug availability and affordability and appropriate education and training for professionals and communities. And of course, the primary goal here is relieving suffering across diverse groups and constituencies, embedding an ethical approach to allocating scarce resources in our communities, and advancing a global health and justice agenda. Thank you so much for your attention.